this trip worth a while. You see, she's got the kind of loving and the kissing I'll make a man go stone wild. So I got to keep on walking. I got to walk on. Oh, oh, oh. I'm so tired, but I just can't lose my stride. I got 15 miles to go now, and I can hear my baby calling my name. It's as if as though I'm standing at a front door. I can hear that dog bone play. Now I'd be so glad to see my baby and hold her in my arms one more time. Now when I kiss her lips, I'll turn her back over flip, and I'll forget about these feet of mine. I got to keep on walking. Hey, woo! I got to walk on. Let me tell you, y'all, I'm so tired, but I just can't lose my stride. Woo! Come on, feet, don't fail me now.
Come on, feet, don't
I got
fail.
10 more miles to go.
10 more miles.
Gentlemen, the beat goes on.
WORFM New York.
11:31 in the city. This is Sebastian Stone.
Thank you.
Frankie Valli and the Fabulous Four Seasons. Rick and Frank me back to 1964 for the Ragdoll Tower when it was a number one record, 1134 in a big town. Good morning, this is Sebastian Stone.
I'll call you from the hotel, honey.
Have a good trip. Do you have everything? When you can't be with
him, he's mine. Be a mind sticker. Have a shape he can't forget. Tab can help. It's sugar-free, and Tab tastes better than any Diet Cola, because the Coca-Cola Company wouldn't have it any other way.
Hello?
Hi, hon. Boy, I miss you.
Oh.
You can't be with
him. Enjoy Tab, and be a mind sticker.
Right now, wouldn't you rather be somewhere else? Alexander is somewhere else. Alexander, a new movie at Cinema 2, 60th and 3rd.
The Big Town Sound, WORFM.
98.7 proudly presents Tony Taylor, today at 12 noon.
Never in my life before have I ever cried the way I've cried for you, because you abuse me to amuse your friends, and you use me. That's where your story ends, and I turn around and love you, baby. Never in my wildest dreams, even when I made believe I knew I'd never own you. No, I've never really known. I turn around and I love you, baby. And even though I can never really know for sure what's in your heart, I'm gonna hold on knowing that you're the hurting kind. And if the day ever comes when you say you're gonna leave me, turn around and love you, baby.
It's 11:37. This is Sebastian Stone with the Jarmels, taking you back to 1961. But this
a little
one.
Bit of soul will wash away your lipstick on my face. But a little bit of soul will never, 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 ever erase the pain in my heart and my eyes as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soul will never wash away my tears. A little bit of soul will wash away your powder from my chin. A little bit of soul will never, 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 ever begin to take away the hurt that I feel as I go through the lonely hills. A little bit of soul will never wash away my tears.
Have you heard when love begins to die, you need someone to cry.
Night and day,
like a bird, you left your robin nest, and just like all the rest, you flew away.
A little bit of soul will take away your perfume eventually. But a little bit of soul wash away the memory of your name in the night that I call through the lonely hills. A little bit of soul will never wash away my tears.
20 minutes before 12. This is Ron King, WORFM 2020 News. New York detectives arrested 11 persons in connection with alleged bomb threats against department stores. Sources say one of those arrested was Robert Collier. He served 21 months in a federal prison after being convicted with three others in 1965 of conspiracy and smuggling explosives in what officials said was a plot to blow up the Statue of Liberty, the Washington Monument, and the Liberty Bell. Those arrested were among 21 named in an indictment. Two others are said to be serving prison terms, and police are seeking another eight. District Attorney Frank Hogan is expected to disclose details of the indictment at an afternoon news conference. Sources said four of those arrested are charged with possession of weapons or explosives. Former President and General Dwight David Eisenhower is to be laid to rest in Abilene, Kansas this afternoon. That story next on WORFM 2020 News.
This is Barney's advice to parents of budding young football players, pie-eating contest winners, and sumo wrestlers. I'm Roger Day.
Sumo wrestlers. I'm Jack Jay, and our advice is to take your husky boy, if he's between 7 and 14, to the Husky Club at Barney's. If he's older than that, he can get there himself.
The young husky, be he short or tall or just plain husky, will find there a selection of fitting fashions that'll boggle the mind.
And bedazzle the parent. Specially proportioned six-button double-breasted sport jackets, for instance, in checks and plaids and twills. And two-button slimline suits with suppressed waists.
And slimming six- and eight-button double-breasted suits. Cords, gabardines, mohairs, stripes, plaids.
And specially proportioned flare-bottom pants in plaids and checks. Indeed, Barney's treats every husky like a regular guy.
And Barney's treats every parent to value.
Alterations by experts in fitting huskies are free. The salesmen are superb, parking is free, and the selections are legion at 7th Avenue and 17th Street.
So take your young athlete and select Don't Settle at Barney's.
And win.
Former President Dwight Eisenhower will be laid to rest in Abilene, Kansas, near the site of his childhood home this afternoon. Correspondent Don Folsom reports.
Dwight David Eisenhower comes to rest today in a place he selected near the two-story white frame home where he grew up. The 34th President of the United States is to be buried in a crypt in the place of meditation at the Eisenhower Library, where final services are being held. The remains of the general arrived in Abilene this morning at the same railroad station Eisenhower left in 1911 for a journey to West Point and eventually on to a glory that few men have achieved. A 10-car funeral train brought the general's casket from Washington to this little Kansas town where Eisenhower was given the boyhood nickname Ike. President Nixon is leading the mourners at today's burial ceremony.
Many of the greats of the world paid their final tribute at funeral services in Washington National Cathedral on Monday. Then the train, with Mrs. Eisenhower and other members of the immediate family aboard, made the journey to the Kansas town where Eisenhower grew up. One member of the family that did not make that journey was the late general's younger brother, Dr. Milton Eisenhower. We received this late medical bulletin on Mr. Eisenhower from correspondent Pye Chamberlain at Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington.
Dr. Milton Eisenhower is listed in satisfactory condition at Walter Reed Army Hospital, but his doctors were not willing to let him travel to Abilene for his brother's funeral. They said the tests they're running on him would take several days. They've not specified what is wrong with him, but one report says his heart is being tested. Although he is a civilian, he was admitted to the Army facility on orders from Army Secretary Stanley Rezor. Rezor was standing near him when Eisenhower complained on Monday that he felt dizzy and woozy. Friends said it was a case of being overtired from the strain of the events preceding the state funeral.
Democratic Senator Stuart Symington urged that the administration reduce military spending rather than freeze funds for public works projects. The Federal Trade Commission is hearing a plea to regulate rather than ban giveaway games of the type sponsored by oil companies. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is urging the House Ways and Means Committee to leave the oil depletion allowances and some other tax provisions alone. In a Washington statement, Symington said a freeze on public works fund could affect flood control, airport and hospital construction, and other projects. There have been reports in Washington that the Budget Bureau is considering a freeze as an anti-inflation step. The Food and Drug Administration yesterday declared 78 antibiotic combination products ineffective. It gave their manufacturers 30 days to show why the products should not be withdrawn from sale. Another letter between James Earl Ray and the late Judge W. Preston Battle could pave the way for a new trial for the confessed assassin. That's the word from Memphis and Marvin Easley.
The case that most considered closed just may be reopened soon. James Earl Ray may receive a preliminary hearing in 2 weeks. The Shelby County Attorney General's office says that a second letter from James Earl Ray to the late Judge Preston Battle is the legal equivalent to a motion for a new trial and an appeal. The four remaining criminal court judges in Memphis refused comment, but sources say this letter and an earlier letter to Judge Battle before he died may be ruled valid documents under Tennessee's Post-Conviction Relief Act, thus paving the way for the hearing. Assistant Attorney General Robert Dwyer says his office will be ready for any new questions raised by Ray's attorney. This news comes ironically amid preparations for a memorial march and service honoring Dr. King Friday, 1 year from the day he was killed by a sniper's bullet.
Pope Paul mentioned the suffering of Christ during Holy Week at a general audience at St. Peter's Basilica, and he told the 8,000 participants that the Roman Catholic Church is suffering too. He mentioned, among other things, what he called the defection and the scandal of certain priests. The Pontiff's remarks were considered a protest against such challenges to church authority as the controversy over birth control. In South Vietnam, there were about 20 rocket and mortar attacks against Allied targets during the night. Only scattered ground fighting is reported. Observers see the relative quiet as reinforcing suggestions that the Communist command may be re-evaluating its situation. One sharp fight that has occurred involved fewer than 100 U.S. infantrymen against the North Vietnamese force estimated at more than twice that size. The Americans fought off the enemy with the help of helicopter gunships and fighter bombers. No U.S. casualties and nearly 50 enemy are reported killed. French President de Gaulle outlined to his cabinet today what he and President Nixon talked about in Washington earlier this week. De Gaulle was in the U.S. for former President Eisenhower's state funeral. Foreign Minister Dubray is quoted as telling the cabinet that favorable signs for peace in Vietnam have appeared, but there is no word just what he had in mind. Meantime, South Vietnam apparently is confused by statements made by Secretary of Defense Melvin Laird. On open line from Saigon, Jim Russell told us,
South Vietnamese President Nguyen Van Thieu is reportedly irritated at recent published comments by Secretary of Defense Melvin Laird. In an interview with U.S. News and World Report, Secretary Laird is quoted as saying, "If it were up to me, I would certainly accept a coalition government if it was elected in a regular election in South Vietnam." Today, an English-language daily here headlined its story, "Thieu finds Laird incomprehensible." The story quotes the president as saying he cannot understand Laird's statement about a coalition government. In a recent press conference, President Thieu indicated that while the National Liberation Front might be able to play some role in Vietnamese politics, he again ruled out the possibility of a coalition government with the communists.
Uncertainty over how much money Albany will earmark for the city has caused the city council to ask for more time before submitting its budget to the state. The council received copies of the state's appropriation bills only yesterday and says it may need as much as an extra month to analyze them. We have learned that former Mayor Robert Wagner has decided not to enter the Democratic mayoral contest. It was just last week that Wagner hinted he might enter the race, and opinion was he would have been the man to defeat incumbent Republican John Lindsay. Reasons for the decision not to run are not known at this time. Mayor Lindsay has asked for reports on the case of a 3-year-old girl found beaten to death last week. The death came after a family court judge refused a plea by the New York Foundling Hospital that the child be taken away from her natural mother and stepfather. The body of the girl was found in the East River, weighted with rocks. Her stepfather has been charged with the murder. In other incidents, a Manhattan couple were arrested and charged with homicide on Monday after an autopsy found that their 4-year-old daughter died of malnutrition. And on Tuesday, a 24-year-old Bronx man was held on $50,000 bail in the brutal beating of an 18-month-old girl said to be the daughter of his common-law wife. 21-year-old Army Private William Arnold and his 20-year-old wife Linda have waived a preliminary hearing in Long Branch Municipal Court and have been bound over to a grand jury on charges of beating their 4-year-old son Paul to death. They were held without bail. It is the second case this year in Long Branch involving a soldier and a child beating. Arnold was assigned to Fort Hancock at Sandy Hook. Dr. Buell Gallagher, president of City College for the past 16 years, has resigned in protest against state and city budget cuts. Gallagher says all hopes for advancement are bashed, adding the budget cuts might prevent the admission of a freshman class in September. An open forum to discuss the issues is slated for this afternoon at Queens College. The forum follows 2 sit-in demonstrations by students in the school's social science building. On Tuesday, 39 sit-in demonstrators were arrested by police in a pre-dawn raid at the school. However, following the arrest, some 500 students reoccupied the same building and lengthened their list of demands. The Penn Central's Metro Line began direct service between New York and Washington this morning. The train eliminated stops at Newark, Trenton, Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Baltimore. The Metroliner, now combining speeds above 100 miles an hour with parlor car elegance, makes the trip to Washington in 2.5 hours. Improvements, however, will increase the train speed to 160 miles an hour and further shorten the trip. Our City Hall contacts tell us the new 4-platoon police system is expected to be in full operation by the end of next month, when summer recreational facilities officially open. The 4th platoon is the result of legislation passed in Albany and enables Police Commissioner Howard Leary to deploy more men between the hours of 6 p.m. and 2 a.m., the city's peak crime hours. The Uniform Firefighters Association has warned that any change in its present work shift may mean job action and contract rejection. The firefighters are currently on a 2-platoon work shift system. UFA President Michael May has called on Mayor Lindsay to, in his words, disavow any administration connection or support for a bill to abolish the present shift system for firemen. A gunfight in a West Harlem bar early this morning has hospitalized one man and a woman bystander. Police say the incident occurred when 38-year-old Clifford Bentley of Newark, New Jersey, and 31-year-old Robert Ellis exchanged gunfire in the bar. 22-year-old Gene Sellers was wounded in the exchange in a right hand. Ellis, a New Yorker, was critically wounded in the abdomen. Both were taken to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where Ms. Sellers is reported in good condition. School officials who closed racially tense schools in Orange, New Jersey, are meeting with teachers in hopes of easing tension before school reopens following Easter recess. Students, most of them black, have walked out five times in the past 2 weeks over grievances with the school board's handling of demands they recently presented. The FBI arrested three men in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and charged them with possession of 250 cases of cigarettes stolen Sunday at Fort Newark. The cigarettes were recovered during the arrest. The three are to be arraigned before a federal commissioner and, if convicted, could receive a maximum of 10 years in prison and a $5,000 fine each. According to our sources in Trenton, the New Jersey death house is running out of room again. The prison in Trenton ran out of room last year on its original death row and decided to transfer all of the inmates to another wing. Now that wing is filling up. It has just taken its 25th occupant and is just about filled to capacity. In sports, Philadelphia kept its hopes alive in National Basketball Association playoffs. It beat Boston last night 119-116. San Diego whipped Atlanta 104-97. The NBA Milwaukee Bucks are expected to announce the signing of UCLA's Lou Alcindor late this afternoon in Los Angeles. A Kentucky assistant, Joe Hall, is expected to be named head basketball coach at St. Louis University. He will succeed resigned Joel Bramer. In baseball, the Washington Senators cut veteran pitcher Bruce Howard, and Billy Casper will miss this week's Greensboro Open golf tourney. He's being treated for a rash. WOR-FM, first in New York with 2020 News.
I'm Sammy the Sound Man.
Right, Sammy. I represent the local Pontiac dealers, and my problem is that I'd like you to give me a certain sound so when anyone hears it, they'll think of their local Pontiac dealer.
Got the sound for you.
What's that?
That's the sound of a camera shutter taking a picture of the average car buyer with his Pontiac GTO, his Grand Prix, his Le Mans, and his Catalina, featuring a big smile on his face because of the great deal he got from his Pontiac dealer.
Well, the sound part of the idea is fine, Sammy, but the average car buyer doesn't own all those Pontiacs.
So we'll touch up the picture.
Pontiac, the car, and the dealer. Just ahead of more music and Sebastian Stone, New York weather mostly cloudy and mild with showers this afternoon, highs in the 60s, clearing and turning colder tonight, lows in the 30s. The temperature in Queens, 60, the Bronx, 59, Brooklyn, 60, Staten Island, 59, and in Newark, 60. Right now, Midtown, 59 degrees. This is Ron King, WORFM, 2020 News. That's what's happening today, April 2nd, 1969.
April 2nd, 1965.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose
yes, yes, you're that, gonna
girl.
Lose that girl.
If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change her
she's
mind.
She's gonna change her mind.
And I will take her out tonight and I will treat her
I'm
kind.
I'm gonna treat her kind.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose if you don't treat her right, my friend, you're gonna find her
you're
gone.
Gonna find her gone.
Cause I will treat her right and then you'll be the lonely
you're
one.
You're not the only one.
You're gonna lose that
yes,
girl.
Yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose
yes, yes, you're that, gonna girl. Lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
I'll make a point of taking her away from you. Watch what you do.
Yeah.
The way you treat her, what else can I do? Taking her away from you, watch what you do.
Yeah.
The way you treat her, what else can I do?
If you don't take her out tonight, she's gonna change
she's
her mind.
She's gonna change her mind.
And I will take her out tonight and I will treat her
I'm
kind.
I'm gonna treat her kind.
You're
gonna lose that girl.
Yes, yes, you're gonna lose that girl.
You're gonna lose.
It's 11:54 in New York City. This is Sebastian Stone, and here is Engelbert Humperdinck, the way it used to be.
Lonely table just for one, in a bright and crowded room, while the music has begun. I drink to memories in the gloom. Though the music's still the same, it has a bitter, sweet refrain. So play the song the way it used to be.